saw you there, the two way, Rabbi Shmuley helping.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Today is Dalet Kislev. Dalet Kislev is the Yutzat of Man Eltazayde, who had this, have the big privilege to be called after him. After Rabbi Shmuley Halpin, people remember over here, Mazayde Rabbi Yossel, his father was called Rabbi Shmuley. And today is his Yutzat. So as it came Fitos Min HaShemayim, Ashbi Zoychet to speak in his Yutzat, so I thought I'll say over something which was a Bechin of an Hi Hoya Oime. The Shtait in the Mepharshim, Hi Hoya Oime, which we say, doesn't just mean that the person said it over. Hi Hoya Oime means the person lived it. That was his essence, that was part of who he was. He was a very poor man. He was a Reuven in a few places. He was a very, very poor man. He struggled to have basic things at home, basic bread. It was a struggle always to bring out parnus in the house. But he had, his menig was, very often used to invite people to come into his house to eat breakfast. He found somebody in Shiel, whatever it was, used to bring him home to eat at home. And the children asked him, Tati, why are you bringing home people to eat by us at home when we don't have enough bread for ourselves? You're giving away our last slice of bread. Why are you giving away our bread to somebody else to eat breakfast? So I want to say the answer first in Yiddish and we'll translate it. He said, Vus adach oib zan frishtig is ungekimen of man teller. Why does it bother you if his breakfast ended up on my plate? Meaning that if he's eating it, it's a simon that's his part of his mois ketzivin loim reishashuna ad reishashuna. If he's eating this piece of bread, it's clear, very clear, that it's not mine. And it was never destined to be mine, and therefore it's his. So if it's his, why does it bother you if it's eating his piece of bread by us at home? It sounds, and it is, a very big madrega. It sounds like something which is above maybe what most of us could feel and most of us think. But Be'emes is, this is something we all believe, this is something we all know, this is something we all have a minute in. And like the Mesillas Yeshurim starts, the beginning of Mesillas Yeshurim, he said, I'm not coming to say anything new. I'm just coming to repeat things which everybody knows. Because they're so famous, and because people know them so much, and because they're ingrained so much in ourselves, therefore it makes us sometimes forget them. So therefore all we come to say over is things that everybody knows. No chidishim at all. It's also negayah to this week's Sedra, not just to the Yutzat. Because we see in this week's Sedra, we have the opposite extreme. We have Luvan Arusha, who tried with all his might to take the money away from Yaakov. Yaakov Vini worked by him for 14 years with such ehrlichkeit. And then he came to the last 6 years and he worked by him. And then he decided that he wants to have some parnusa. What should he do for himself? So they made up this most crazy business deal, which I don't think anybody in the room would ever make up such a crazy business deal. He made a kala ukid, vanukid, vatuli. And then Luvah did a whole shtickle on him, and he took away all the good schoira. Because al pi derech hateva, there was no way for him to get anything. But it was beshet that he should get it. It was beshet that he was meant to have this parnusa, and therefore he got this parnusa. And from year to year, and from month to month, from year to year, Yaakov Avinu became richer and richer. And Luvah wasn't sitting there idly by watching all his sheep disappear. He was doing every trick. I won't say every trick in the book, because he had many tricks which weren't in the book. He managed over a period of 6 years to trick Yaakov 100 times. He was out there with all his might to take away what was bashed for somebody else. Thinking that if he does it shtadlus, thinking if he's going to try hard enough, thinking if he'll do enough koich and enough koich yivoytzim yudi, he'll succeed in taking away from Yaakov what is bashed for Yaakov and bringing it to himself. And we know that Luvan failed. He failed dismally, and he ended up losing all his money which he had, all his sheflach, and all his riches went over from Luvan to Yaakov, because that was Bashar, which the Eibishter wanted. So we see the other extreme. We have somebody who is desperate to take away from somebody else, but he doesn't succeed. It's not something which is in our hands, Bichlal. We can choose of how much parnusa we're going to have. How much parnusa we're going to have is one day a year when we do the real shtadlus. And that's one day a year that we're not allowed to work. Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the day we do ishtadlus of parnusa for a whole year. Kol ha'moed ketzivim loim Rosh Hashanah ad Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippurim, depends on the field of Gersa. But that's when a person gets his parnusa for the year. The rest of the shtadlis, which is going to do through the year, yeah, unfortunately, Udam Arishan, when he did the chet from Eitz Adas, was nigs on him. He has to pay up a tax. He has to pay something, he has to give something in order to be able to get to his check. There's a phenomenal drusha, which I like to hear quite often, from Rabbi Frank Waxman. And a lot of what I'm going to say is what I heard from there, but you can't beat the original. So it's worth listening to. Somebody wants to know afterwards which one it is, I can let them know, but it's worth listening to. And he brings out so clearly this nekida which we wanted to speak about today, is how parnusa and hishtadlis have zero one to do with the other. He brings it out in his unique manner with such a clarity. He starts off his shiur by throwing such a comment which gets everyone to chuckle. He said, there are people who believe that we go to work in order to make money. There are also still people who believe the world is flat. It's an outdated notion that people work to get money. It's something which doesn't exist, it's something which isn't true, and something which we believe in with all our minds. Why do we work? He explains why we work. He explains we have to work for two reasons. And to say none of those two reasons entail making money. One reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to put a yid through certain nisyonos in life. When a person goes to work, he has an nisyon. He has to have a minah. He has to have bituchin that his money is coming from Hashem and not from the job that he's doing. He has nisyonos in being erlich. He has nisyonos in not taking what isn't his. He has nisyonos in sheker, in saying a lie or not. He has nisyonos of being a yosher, being yashrus, being straight. He has nisyonos wherever he moves, right and left. That's the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu sent a yid to go and work. Because he wants us put through this obstacle course, which is a gewaldiger way of us succeeding and coming out the end of the obstacle course stronger. And we will smatzliach in this obstacle course, so we end up getting to where our neshama is meant to get to. And the second reason he says that a person has to go to work is because we know, unfortunately, when people don't have what to do, it's not the most productive, things come out from their time. And therefore, if a person wouldn't have this, oh, that he has to go and work, he has to go and bring parnusa, he has to go and work in order to, he has to go, he's working, he's busy the whole day, his batula mevi l'day, and Chazal tell us what batula brings things to. And they're not the best things which come out. Those are the two reasons the Chovas Avuvah says somebody has to go and work. If a person goes to work for money, we don't go to work for money. That's not a yid. The Mesillas Yeshurim writes it down so clearly in Perichuf Aleph. He writes it down over there. It's again, it's the same Sprach. The Mesillas Yeshurim writes it down in a gewaldige way. He said that if somebody wants to know what can save him in order to become, to be able to steig in his avodas Hashem, is a bituchen. Bituchen means you throw yashlich Yehovah el Hashem legamre. He's going to throw his pekel, he'll throw his whole burden on Hashem completely. And Chazal tell us, which we were talking about at the very beginning, ein odom negeya b'michel chaveira afilek chaloi nima. It's impossible for somebody to get a single hairbreadth what is bashert for somebody else. We can try, like Luvin tried so hard, and he didn't succeed. On the other hand, if somebody goes out of his way and he gives for somebody else, he's also not losing out. Because it was came to somebody else, it was bashert for somebody else. Nobody can take away anything with bashert for somebody else. It says, the Mesillas Yeshurim, such beautiful words. A person could sit and do nothing all day, and he would still get every single penny which was shared for him to get Rosh Hashanah. Because it's got nothing to want to do with the other, which we explained before. Unless that we receive this tax, this knas, this fine, which we have to pay, which is called Bezeh Sapecha Toich Alechem. And because Udam Arishan received this Kalula of Bezeh Sapecha Toich Alechem, Chayev Udam Leishtadl Eze Shtadlis. Somebody, you have to do some job. You have to work. You can't sit at home and twiddle your thumbs and hope for the pounds and for the notes to fly through the front door. You have to do some Shtadlis. Shekein Gozar Melech Elyon. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a Gezeirah. It's push a tax. We have a tax we have to pay. There are taxes we have to pay, income tax, corporation tax, and there's other taxes we have to pay, but the first tax we have to pay is doing something. But it's not more and not less than tax. The tax isn't a percentage. The tax isn't built of however much you work, that's how much, according to the amount of effort you put in, and according to the amount of work you put in, that's the amount of money you're going to make. As Ephraim says it so beautifully, Ephraim Waxman said, we're all on welfare, we're all on benefits. Our check is ready. Our check is ready in the bank. Every single one of us, the check is sitting there, we're going to get it anyway. We're on benefits from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what? We have to go and do something for it. So we have to go and travel to that office to pick it up. And we have to go down to this road to do this, and we have to go there to do that. And everyone has his ishtadlis, which the Eibishter defeats, that he should be able to do in life, and he should get to do in life. But doing the ishtadlis and getting the parnusa has no shaykhis one with the other. He brings it out so beautifully. He said, imagine somebody would see, he doesn't use a name, but let's say, we have a world's famous multi-billionaire, and you see his small boy, a 10-year-old boy, a 15-year-old boy, standing on the streets, and standing on the corner, he's opened up a little kiosk, and he's selling drinks, and he's selling cans, people walking past, and he's selling the lollipops, and he's selling sweets. One would stop and wonder, what is this boy doing over here? Why is he standing here selling things? One thing we might think, maybe his father wants to train him in how to sell. He wants to give him a little experience in commerce. He wants to maybe give him a little bit of self-confidence. Maybe he's bored and his son is driving him up the wall, so he gave him something to do. But none of us would think for a second that the reason why he's standing there is in order to earn money. We have a father who is richer than any billionaire ever made. We have a Kodesh Baruch Hu b'chvoido v'atzmoy. Li ha-kesef v'li ha-zuv. Ne'im Hashem, the Eibishter zukt, everything is mine. We know it and we believe it with every fiber of our being. Everything and every penny and every dollar and every pound is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. So why on earth did he send us on the street corner to sell and to buy and to try and do something called, which we think is Parnusa? It doesn't make sense. We stop and think for a second. It could be for 1,000 reasons, but definitely not that we should go and make money. For that, he has enough. He has a different reason for it. Like we explained with Chovas Havuvas, he has reasons for it. But definitely not for Parnusa. When we know this, we know it. But when we chazer it, and we go over it, and we hemanti ki adabe, shtaiten sfurim, that the more a person talks about a minna, the more it goes in, and the more it gets refreshed, and the more it gets into his, it becomes part of him, not just something that he knows, but something that he lives, and something that he eats and he breathes. Then all of a sudden, things become so much easier. We know where we're up to. We know what we need to do in this world. We know why we're here. We know where we want to get to. The same idea we see by the Oymer. Just thinking about the Oymer was the time in the Chayidin when the Mon came down in the Midbar, when everybody was Bashet, is going to come home with one Oymer. It says in Pusik, I don't remember the Lushna Pusik, but the one who took more ended up coming home and he had the same oimer, that the one who went and took less ended up also with one oimer. The only thing which changed, L'chayra, when the Yidin went in the Midbar was that they didn't have this klula, they didn't have to pay this knas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll rain you down, mon min ha-shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rains us down always, mon min ha-shamayim. Because we said before, Mu'iz Ketziv Lo Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah gets decided how much mon we're going to get. But we have a klula called B'zeh Asapecha Toich Alechem. And we have to go and fill in this klula, B'zeh Asapecha Toich Alechem. So therefore, we have to go and do our job. And the Yidin were in the Midbar. And the Yidin went through 40 years in the Midbar, and the Eibishter wanted them just to learn Torah. He wanted, it was like a bucha when he starts his life off, what do? We send him off to yeshiva. That he should spend his first years learning and learning and learning and not having to worry about Parnusa. And nowadays it's gone that a lot of younger lads, a lot of people after the chasna, the first shtick starts after the chasna, they go to koil and they're learning and they're learning. They know they're not going to stay like that for the rest of their life. But they want to start off their life in the way of Torah, that they know that they get there, they set themselves up on the correct way. And Kevyuchel, that's what happened with the Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. The Eibishter gave us the Matan Torah, and he says, I'll give you 40 years in Koilu. He gave us 40 years, we can sit and learn. I'll give you to eat, I'll give you to drink. I'll give you everything you need, your clothes will grow with you. You won't need to do anything from Olam Hazeh. The Kelul of Bezeh Sepecha Toich Alechem didn't exist in the Midbar. And therefore we had time to learn. But that also was Bashet, how much everyone's going to get. There was no such a thing as be able to hustle and bustle and I'll end up with something more than somebody else. The one who did it didn't succeed. Hitaka, all he managed to do was had to schlep much more. He worked much harder than his neighbor. He went there with big buckets and he dug and he shoveled it all in and he carried home 20 oimer and he came home all of a sudden he realized it's only one. And the other one who said everything's pashet, he went and picked up a little bit and he came home, it was also oimer. Everyone ended up with the same amount that they were meant to get. Nobody gained anything from trying to do more shtadlus or less shtadlus. There was no klul of zeh sepecha toich alechem, so the mon rained down. Nowadays we're exactly the same situation. We have two little differences. One is we have a knas, we have to pay bezeh sepecha toich alechem, that's a gezerim in hashemayim. And second, we don't know how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided we should get this year. Then everybody knew they're going to get an oimer. So everybody knew whatever they're going to do, that's what they're going to come home with. It was very clear. Nowadays, since we've came out of the Midbar, things aren't so clear anymore. We don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided in Rosh Hashanah, how much money we're going to get. We don't know how much their account, the numbers twirled up and went up and up and up in Rosh Hashanah to know that's our balance for the year. We've no idea. So therefore, we come blind, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world with such a brilliant imagination that we think and we feel, and what we see with our Gashmis the Ke'oigen is, yes, the more I work, the more I earn. The harder I do something, and the more koiches I put into it, and the more effort I put into it, the more I earn. That's even somebody who's in business, who's running his own business. But somebody who's getting a paycheck, it's like, how can it be any otherwise? The day I come to my job, I get paid. I get, at the end of the month, I get my check. If I don't come, I don't get my check. If I miss a day more than my sick leave and I don't get paid for it, then I'm losing money. One on one makes two. But here, one on one doesn't make two. The Eibishter creates the world with such a brilliant oifen, such a brilliant situation that we feel and we see our Gashmis Dikah Oigen, that whatever we do, is that what we gain. But the reality is completely differently. Sometimes we don't know what we would have lost if we wouldn't have done this, if we would have earned more money, chas v'shalom, there could be things we would have to spend money on, which we wouldn't have to spend if we don't. There's very often people work and they tackle, they end up amassing loads of money. He says a beautiful story, we have time. The idea is though, these people end up after 120 and they leave themselves so much money behind for other people. They work their whole life and they amassed a fortune, but not for themselves. They never had anything from it. They ended up giving it away to somebody else. Very often, if he's talking about somebody, the old man who was nifta, who never had, he never got married, and he ended up moving to a Yiddish area, and somebody looked after him, one of the neighbors. He was nifta a few months later, and he gave $700,000 a present to the neighbor, because he looked after him all his life. This person worked for 60 years. He was from Minnesota. He said, it's freezing cold there in the winter. Pulled himself out of bed every morning. I can't be late for work, because maybe I'll lose a dollar. Asking his boss for a rise, working hard, never missing, never doing as much effort as he could in order that Yankala, who lives in this house over here, his neighbor is going to be 6 years later, is going to get money. So very often we see things, but we have to see them through the right lens, we have to see them through the right perspective. When it's holy bashet between Odom and Odom la'amukim, in a way it's a little bit easier. It's difficult enough. I heard a story from somebody. Sometimes you think these things can only happen to Frieda Gedoiris. But the story of today, somebody was selling a property, and he got a very good offer for it. More than he ever expected. He was very, very surprised. Somebody walked up and said, I heard you have this property for sale. It wasn't even really for sale yet, but he heard that there's something brought. I want it very much. He realized he has a good fish in his hand, so I want it very much. So he got a good price off him. A very good price. And then they sat down for a meeting, and they wrote up a contract, and they wrote up terms of agreement, and everything was fine and royal. That was all between them. And then this purchaser, this guy, sent it off to his lawyer to get it, to see that he should push it to follow through on the agreement which they agreed on. And his lawyer started to create, his solicitor started to create a ruckus. Said, you crazy? Do you know what you're buying over here? Do you know what you're going for? Do you know what it's worth? Do you know what you're paying? Aye, the contract you wrote, it's a waste of time. It doesn't mean anything. You're not meshibed by it. It was only your own signature. It wasn't done with the office. It wasn't done through the solicitor. And he drove this. He told his purchaser, you're crazy for doing it. And Versteitzich, his goy backed off. He's called up. He sent off, he was in contact with the seller. And he told him, I'm sorry, I'm pulling back. And the seller was very upset. He was very upset. And he was lost. And then after a short amount of time, I don't know if it was a couple of hours or a day or two, he chapped himself and he said, am I crazy? That goyish solicitor sitting in his office decides how much my muis ketzivim rishashuna or rishashuna is going to be. To think that way, one has to be insane. We just get lost in the moment. We get lost, caught up in the gashmis of Olam Hazeh. And we think because this fellow wanted to buy the house for a lot of money, now he changed his mind, I've lost something. So the way to comfort oneself very often is, you know what, it was only in his sign, but you'll see, really, it's going to be good. I'm really going to sell it on afterwards for a lot more money. But it's not true. This person told me afterwards that he didn't sell it on for more money, he sold it on for a lot less money. And he realized that the first price was never a price. The first price was only there for one reason. To see if he realizes that this goyish solicitor is in charge of his money of the year or is not in charge of his money for the year. That's when it comes to Ben Udin Lamukim. We know that we work for our parnusa and sometimes things get in the way and we have no one to blame. So it's easier to stop and chap ourselves and realize, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us what's basher for us. If we need it, we'll get it. But it has nothing to do with how much effort I put in. But if somebody else comes in the way, and if somebody else, if another person comes and steps on our toes, and he starts getting in the way of our parnusa, then it's much, much, much more difficult to turn around and say, you know what, it's bashet. We saw before in the Chayv Sof, in the Psilas Yishurim, he says, Ein Odom Negeya, the Gemurah Nima, he brings down, Ein Odom Negeya, B'maham Michel Chaveira, Philip Goloyim Nima. Nobody can take away anything which is bashet for myself. If somebody comes and opens up a competitor, opens up the store across the street, that's already much harder for us to swallow. Because we feel the Eibishter does something like that to us. Okay, it's Bashert. But Yena? What a chitzpah does he have? He opened up the store across from my store. He opened up the same business that I have in town. He started to do the same pronusa that I'm doing in town. He went and took that house which I had my eye on in the auction and he went and took it. He only knew about it because he heard me talking to somebody else and he went and took it. And sometimes the person who does these things, his taka has a problem. Chazal tell us that somebody jumps onto a deal that somebody else is busy with. It's not push it. Taka agrees to shal and alucha. That's only in a shal and alucha on the person who does it. But the person who was done to, he has nothing from it. If he's going to get it, it was bashert for him. If he's not going to get it, it wasn't bashert for him. Like he said also, Chovetz Chaim once asked somebody, he told him, no, how's it going with Parnusa? So Yena answered, it could be better. Chovetz Chaim said it couldn't be better. Because if it could have been better, it would be better. If it's not better, it's a siman, that's exactly what it's meant to be. Avada, there's tefillah. And Avada, sometimes there's a gezadin and there's gezeiris. And the Gemara tells us itself, just now with the Olam and Rosh Hashanah by Dafiyomi, that sometimes the Rosh Hashanah can be nigs, a person shouldn't have such good parnusa. And the Gemara discusses there how with koyach atzfilah, we have a koyach to change it. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes that the rain should come down. Even he said it's only come a small amount of rain, it should come down now in the right field at the right time, the right minute, which not now negeya only by geshumim, it's negeya by every little thing we have. We all know how many hours we can spend doing business, but how many of those hours are the ones that we make the money on? Oh, to make the money on is just a deal here and a deal there. We don't need the hours and hours and hours of wasted, empty shtadlis in between. We just need the good deal here and the good deal there. It can be nigs on somebody, whatever it is, but Kodesh Baruch Hu can send, we have vada koecha tefillah, and a vada we have to daven, we have to do whatever we do. But somebody else can get in the way? Nobody else can get in the way. Nobody else can take away anything from us. There's nothing stopping us from going around and helping every other yid to do parnusa. There's nothing else. Let's take it even to money for koilu. I happen to say this very often. People ask me, will you help me please collect for my moysid? Or please help me take a page in my charity campaign? Or do something else? The nachshuva that goes through one's mind is, how can I? I can't ask somebody for money every week. I can't ask money for somebody every 2 weeks. I can't. I have to keep the context to myself. I have to look after and worry about my budget. It's the same thing. Ein udam negea lachaveira afila kuloim nima. It's easy? No. We always win the battle? Also not. We're human. But at least we know what the battle is. At least we know what we're meant to be getting to. At least we know what our goal is and what the real reality is. And we work on something and we have to say, yeah, I'm going to do whatever I can to help you. Nothing's going to take away from whatever I'm meant to be getting anyway. It says over a Moiriga story, which brings it out so beautifully. There was a Yid in Bnei Brak, who was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish, and he had a big printing press. And he had Baruch Hashem, a lot of panusa, he had a big printing press. And one day somebody decided to open up another printing press, just around the corner. And the Yid first was taken aback. He said he took out a Shulchan Aruch, and he started learning through Choshe Mishpat, Hilchasach Sugas Gevil. Did this person do the right thing? Did he not do the right thing? Am I allowed to have tannas on him? I'm not allowed to have tannas on him. And then all of a sudden he chapped. What's it got to do with me? Hilchasach Sugas Gevil has got to do with Yenin. That's his problem. Nothing to do with me. I don't have anything. I'm going to get my pronusa. He went over to the competitor. He went over to the new one. And he told him, I see you opened up a printing press. You're new in the business. I'm doing it already for tens of years. I have so much experience. Here's the right context to go to get machines. Here's the right context to go for paper. Here's the right context to go for ink. He's the one who's going to do everything. And he opened up every trade secret that there was. And he explained to the person everything, how to do it, when to do it, and which way to do it. And he came home, and he started learning with a Gemara Gesimcha, Sefer Minu Bituchen, from the Chazon Ish. And his children came over to him and says, Tati, something's wrong. Your competitor just opened up a huge store across the street from you. Not only are you not doing anything, but you're going over and you're giving him the whole time more and more trade advice. And you're happy and you're smiling. He said, Kindlech, why shouldn't I be happy? Till today, all the business came to my store. From today, half the business will go to his store. I'll end up working 50% what I worked till today. And the money which I was meant to get, I'm still going to get every penny. Because Shuna is exactly the same. I shouldn't be happy that somebody took 50% of my workload off me. I'm forever grateful to him. He gave me back half of my life. Avada, these are greater dargis, and these are greater madregis. But we all know the truth, and we all believe the truth, and we all do it. But sometimes, Hatzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world. He made the world that it should look very enticing, and the sheker should look like emes. And therefore, Chazar over again and again gives us a little bit of the correct perspective again. And I should help him. Shulah panusa bar chuva. Vezon shdafim machen sifu from the bezeis apecha toich aleichem. Should be mekayim the shtadlis with a very small minimal amount. And should be able to sit down and have kol tiv v'tov. And zoi chazan mitshem b'yis goyil tzed imheri v'meini.
Story about that. Happened here in Manchester, Ashley Rumsfeld. From Nachalov, when he opened, he told all what to do, where to go, where to die. I heard about a bakery. I heard of a trip. The new bakery, after the old bakery went on to do bakery.